Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Gee whiz, we're creeping up on 100 quickies on this here podcast.
Holy moly.
Not out of breath. We're still going strong. Once a week, once a fortnight, you get a quickie. So maybe that has something to do with it. Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Harrison. Elizabeth Best across from
Hello.
Me. You know the deal. It's a quickie. This one's a questions-driven one, and I'll open the batting, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to meander onto hypothetical corner,
right,
where we sometimes like to exist.
Yes.
And you're in a long-term relationship.
Very hypothetical.
And your partner wants to look through your phone. What do you do? They say, I want to look through your phone. What's the response?
Well, I'd say sure, because I'm not a saint, but I don't believe I've ever done anything that I would be like, oh my God, you know. Look, I probably have. But if I'm living in a relationship the way that I hope that I live in a long-term
yes.
relationship, and my rule is never do anything that you wouldn't do if your partner were standing right next
yeah,
to you.
Absolutely.
So I would probably say something self-deprecating about the amount of show tunes in my Spotify list and show tunes and early 2000s bangers. And say sure, but if
that
I was cheating on them, then no. But I wouldn't do
okay,
that.
Okay, so you're not cheating. You're faithful. So it doesn't that wouldn't bother you
but
at
I'm
all.
Pretty, I'm pretty open. Like if they're like, oh, you look at porn, I'm like, don't you? Like sure. You know, if they're like, oh, look at this shitty taste in music, I'd be like, I know. Like if you know, there's nothing that I've got on there. I don't have any nude photos of other exes or I don't have anything. Like what other scandalous things could be on there that you would be? I mean, I sometimes take notes for ghosts episodes.
Maybe they assume that you're cheating, so you're messaging other
people.
Oh,
if they can go through my messages, that's totally fine.
So like, you would be fine with just being like, okay, here you go, hand it over, bing, bang, bong.
Yeah.
Hmm, interesting.
There have been instances where I've been in past relationships where I potentially would not have been okay, and that's because the relationship was already falling apart and I had already started not bad-mouthing but questioning our suitability together with other people, and that's where I might, if I was in that position again, I probably might be a bit more cautious because I wouldn't want them to find out what I have been hypothesizing until I decided whether we were right or not. But other than that, like, there's not really a lot in there when I'm in the happy part of a relationship that I, you know, I'd more think it was a problem if they felt they needed to go through my phone. I'd want to ask them why.
Well, that's part of the whole sticky wicket, isn't it?
Because like, I'd want to, if I put them in a position where they feel like they need to go through my phone, then maybe that's something that I want to look at, whether that's their baggage or mine.
I think my first thing would, I'd simultaneously be saying, yes, that's fine, but I'd want to know why first, I think.
I
would
want
say
to know
what's
why
driven.
And if I was doing something shitty that made them feel like they needed that, then I'd want to fix that. But if it was just, see, in the past, I have had somebody want to know where I am at all times and I was not doing anything wrong, but they were cheating. And it's quite often,
projection.
Quite like not all the time, but a lot of times it does happen to be projection. They are trying to monitor your behavior because they know that their behavior is shifty. So I'd probably also go, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Yeah,
and see how that plays out.
That could be, that's probably a...
It's like, what is it, not lawful chaotic? Like, what is it? I don't know.
Chaotic neutral maybe.
Chaotic neutral.
Somewhere there. Yeah, interesting, because personally, I value my privacy pretty much above anything. I just, and it's really... annoying to respect your privacy, but then you assume, well, if you're hiding something, you've got something to hide, right?
Interesting.
I would worry about how that would be taken.
If let's just say in some hypothetical universe we're dating and I said, Tom, show me your phone, and you're like, I'd prefer not. My baggage would immediately scream that you're doing something that's worth hiding.
Mm. It's an interesting one. So you say no, I respect my privacy, and then you're clearly guilty by...
I'd panic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but then again, if my partner was upfront with me at the start that they valued their privacy, I don't know. That's a tricky
one. It is tricky. I'd make it a conversation first.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'd want to know why. I would then say, okay, I'm going to let you go through my phone, but this may... It may change something. I don't know if it will, but it might very well when you go through my phone, my boring fucking phone, and find nothing.
Yeah, because if they find nothing, then they feel like an asshole.
Yeah, and that would shift. So it's like, do you want to take this step?
Yeah.
To do that? I don't know. It's a curious one.
I kind of think that if you're the type of person who like leaves your phone facing up and doesn't put it straight back in your pocket when you get a text or whatever, then people feel less like that you're hiding something. Like my ex, I knew when he was cheating on me because he went from leaving his phone face up to turning it face down, or always having it in his pocket. And I found out later that he had it in his pocket because he had changed the vibration settings on his phone so that if he got a text from his certain someone that it would vibrate differently and he would know not to take it out of his pocket.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
That's
when I went through his phone without even asking him, because you know what? I was driven to it, my friends. I would not do it again unless I was put in a position. No. Look, so, I should not have gone through. I said the C word. I'm sorry. I should not have gone through his phone, but I did. And I regretted it because then I didn't know how to tell him what I found.
What's better, going through someone's phone without them knowing?
Can you bleep that C word? That's one, like,
she's not happy with it.
No, I'm happy to say it in every other facet of my life.
What if I say it and then he takes me saying it and pastes it over you saying it?
Then I think people would just think it was weird because it happened 20 seconds ago now, and we're like, why did Liz's voice suddenly turn into Tom's?
Yes.
Look, you know, my friends who I call the C word quite often will not understand my decision, but it's my decision and that's what matters.
So, the going through the phone question, I don't know.
I want to know. Would you go through your partner's phone? Have you gone through your partner's phone? And what did you find?
And have you asked?
I want to know all phone searching questions. Write to us at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com or contact us on any of our socials, or share it in our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy group. You can share anonymously in that group and I will approve it. So if you want to not put your name to it and admit to something, feel free. Tom.
Hello.
This question begins, I found this on a Facebook group, Should I Reach Out and Apologize is the headline. Now, there are a couple of little bits to this, so I'll read the first part and then we'll answer it. I had a first date planned with a guy and we were supposed to be there at 8 p.m. I arrived at 8:03, but I texted ahead of time that I was running 3 minutes late. At 8:04, he told me he was 7 minutes away. At 8:14, I told him I'd be leaving in 5 minutes. He didn't respond, so I left at 8:20. A few minutes after I left, he called asking where I was. I told him I left. I feel bad because he sounded upset and he hung up on me. The other part of me is annoyed because I left work early, changed my plans around, and came out on a work night, which I hate doing, for us to have this dinner that he kept begging for us to have. And they've given two answers. You could say leave a heart reaction for first impressions matter. I would have left after waiting almost 20 minutes too. Or a laughing face, that was childish, you shouldn't have left, you should apologize. So first step of this story, what are you leaning towards?
20 minutes feels brief, feels short.
20 minutes, especially when someone said I was 7 minutes away, like has kept you updated that they are in transit, feels short to me.
I'm late and then they're late and then suddenly...
But they didn't respond. So he said it was 7 minutes away at 8:04 and then 10 minutes later... which is 3 minutes later than he said he'd be. She's saying, I'm leaving in 5 minutes, and he didn't respond then. So she left in 6 minutes.
This chap, or her date, has sent a message informing that they are late and that they are on their way. So in their brain, I'm assuming that they're like, yep, communication's been sent. They know I'm coming. Done. They didn't know it was going to have to necessitate a constant back and forth. Mm. I think there's a bit of jumping the gun with the leaving here.
I agree, for the record. I think probably if someone hadn't communicated to me at all and they were 20 minutes late, I would leave. But if they had told me 10 minutes earlier that they were on their way, wouldn't have.
With the understanding that, of course.
Also, if someone's trying to find a park, you're not going to be texting and blah, blah, blah. All right, so here's an update. While this post was waiting to be approved, he reached out and we both ended up apologising to each other. Honestly, looking back, I should have called before I left, but first date jitters mixed with social anxiety had me feeling slightly frustrated and overwhelmed. Also, a few comments stated this as well. We all value time differently and my biggest pet peeve is being late, hence why I texted him ahead of time that I would be 3 minutes late. Thank you all for the positive comments. I gained a different perspective and will use this as a moment for growth.
Yeah, very good. Good on you.
And update to the update, Tom.
Oh, fantastic.
The man was married. Ladies, follow your gut and leave. Who cares if you look dramatic and rude? If I would have stayed, I would have felt guilty forever, even though I was unaware at the time.
No, fair enough. No other notes. I had a whole cacophony list of things to express and be like, well, sometimes two people are blameless and there's no fun. No, fine. We all know the answer. Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
look, I think that there was either some really great intuition happening there or there really was a moment for growth needed. Both things can be true. Like, you know, I would not have left that hastily. But I just thought that was a really amusing addition to the story.
No, it took a debate and just ruined it. It just ruined the purpose of
it. I shall use this to grow. Never mind, not growing anymore. The guy was married. Fuck it.
The end. Now, Elizabeth.
Yes.
How does one get their partner's ring size? How do they get it? How do they remember it?
Ask a friend to borrow a ring from a jewel box.
Whoa. Ask a friend or
borrow a ring from their jewelry box.
So you go to her possessions, their possessions.
Make sure that you look at what rings they wear on the correct finger, right? So if they never wear rings, you might be a bit shit out of luck. And then, like, I know that my friend Emma, who's been on the podcast a few times, knows my ring size, because back when I thought I was going to get married because I was in love, gross, I was like, in case he asks, this is my ring size. Plus she worked in a jewelry shop at the time, so she asked me for my ring size so that she would know if he asked. So chances are one of her close friends will know.
Right.
Okay. And if not, one of her close friends can grab a ring from her collection, be like, hey, can I borrow that cute ring that you wear sometimes to wear to that party, and then take it to get sized.
So it's best having a physical ring at the jeweler's.
Now,
so
you don't even have to take it to the jeweler's. These days you can get an app or like a website where it literally says put your ring on the phone and press the down button until the ring is exactly the same size as the ring that is placed on your phone, and that is the ring size. You don't even need to take it out of the house these days. Or you can, you know, buy a placeholder ring and say come with me and get it sized, you know, and choose something you love.
Yes.
Do you know, like, you can, if they are going to be particular about the ring, they can help you choose and resize it. But yeah, you can look for ring sizing apps or ring sizing websites where you can literally place a ring on the phone and they're like, when the outline is lined up with the inside of this ring, that is their ring size.
Good. Thank you for the help, because I'm sure that this is a blunder and a pitfall for many a bloke that's gone to the jewelers and they've gone, so what's the ring size? I don't know.
Look, if anyone out there wants to buy me a ring, N and a half, just letting you know.
Also,
oh, Zane's pulling the mic down.
You've stumbled onto the hill that I will die on.
Okay. Uh-oh.
The hill? This is it.
This is it. Oh, after four years. We found the fucking hill. All right.
Use your words. If you're gonna ask someone to marry you, you need to know that they want to marry you.
Yeah, but that's very different. Like, you can be like, yes, we're getting married.
I agree. It's very the element of surprise and the element of, like, I did this wonderful thing and it was this fancy secret that you didn't know about. Fine. If you think that your significant other is that kind of person, okay, right now, I'm not speaking to the people that I just addressed. I'm speaking to that particular kind of person who wants this experience. It's yes. on you to tell your friends
yeah.
what your ring size is yep. and to approach your significant other and say, hey, if this is where you're looking at, come, I'm the person, I'm the designated ring bearer yes,
sure.
that will tell you the details.
Yeah.
Because you can't just expect this from someone and then get disappointed when they don't deliver it if it's never discussed.
Look, I feel like, right, there are those types of people, and I definitely agree that, you know, like, you should be sure that that person has marriage on the mind at all before you propose. Otherwise, it could get real awkward real fast and you could spend a whole lot of money for nothing. But I still want the illusion that I haven't, like, I don't want to be the person going, here's what I want for Christmas, and yeah. give them an itemized list and go, oh my God, I'm so surprised because I told you exactly what ring I wanted and here's the size to have it in. Like, I still want there to be a little bit of mystique.
Yeah, it's a bit different to buying a minivan together where you need...
I followed the rules, Zane. I told
you. I know. And that's why I wanted to congratulate you. I wanted to point it out that what you did was super responsible.
There are three of my friends who know my ring size.
But we don't expect it of the person who's going to be receiving the ring to be responsible for their own expectations and communicating that to the person. Because we as a society just assume that the person giving the ring is going to go to all this elaborate, mysterious love rom-com effort.
If they're not the type that does the love rom-com effort, they're the type that asks the ring size from you directly.
Yeah.
So if they are the type that does the rom-com, then they will go and ask the friend or find a sneaky way to do the ring. And if they're not, then they'll ask you. So they both work.
Well, I mean, yes, but I can imagine someone saying, hey, I need to know your ring size because I want to marry you. I can imagine that leading to an argument. And the fact that I can imagine that, me, as a person who's never going to be in this situation because I have almost zero romance in my body, the fact that I can imagine that, I think, is that's why I'm going to die on this hill. Society needs to be responsible for the myths that we perpetuate.
Yeah, look, I will not die on that hill. I absolutely think that some mystery should be alive, and I've just given you plenty of ways to get a ring size without having to be all non-romantic.
I feel awful because I've picked, first of all, at Columbo's at home. No, I'm not planning on proposing.
That's what you would say if you were.
Yeah. She doesn't believe in marriage. Well, not to me anyway, but... this question was for the poor schmuck who has no idea, who's just trying to figure it out. And now it's this whole issue. Do I tell her that I need a ring size? Do I not? Is it spontaneous and romantic, or is it thought out and planned?
However you want to do it is how you do it. And I've given you some ways to do it either way, or Zane has given you some ways to be blunt about it.
Dear poor schmuck, if you know that they want this experience, go all out. Give them that experience. But that's the thing. You know that experience.
Yeah.
But I just think it's unfair that we assume not only that the man has to provide that experience, but that the person receiving the ring wants that experience.
Yeah.
That could be super uncomfortable for some people.
I mean, surely you've discussed it and they're planning on doing it.
You say surely. There's YouTube channels galore of awkward denials of proposals.
Maybe. Have you ever proposed to someone that's gone badly? Write in. We'd like to know. What were you thinking? What were they thinking? Had you discussed it? Like, tell us. We want to know.
How did... and
good
how
save,
did,
please.
Did he get your ring size without you knowing?
Yeah, How did that happen? If you're a... I know a couple of women who've proposed. How did you find out his ring size? Because chances are he probably didn't have a ring to wear before. So what did you do?
Exactly. How are you going to do it? I think
proposing with a fucking burger ring and then saying, let's go and choose a ring together is romantic. If... the economy isn't what it was and the burger rings now no longer fit on fingers. And I maintain that that's because they've gotten smaller and not because my fingers have gotten more adult.
It's shrinkflation. It's shrinkflation. It's fine.
This has been a very long quickie. We've taken our time this quickie.
Yeah, we brought Zane in, so there's three.
No.
So you're all welcome
for
our
100th quickie. It's nearly there. Nearly at the 100th. If you have any stories about rings, proposals, write them in ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com or our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy. I want to know, what do you think about rings? Do you think you should find the size out, or should they tell you?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.